Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Emerging Enterprise Radio, featuring high-growth companies and their trusted advisors.
Welcome to another episode of Emerging Enterprise. I'm your producer, Kevin Finn, and I am back in the studio. Van tried to get rid of me unsuccessfully. I got out of the trunk, and I'm back after 3 weeks.
I heard the indecision in your voice as you were trying to tell us what your name was.
Exactly.
I am somebody.
Exactly.
How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. How about you? Things been going on? You're wearing your Insight Pool shirt. Those things are really comfy, by the way. They give out some good shirts there when they
come. That was some good swag.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was funny. I put an Instagram post up and tagged Insight Pool on Instagram, and it's that weird connection with Twitter that if it's not exact, and so it actually ends up tagging somebody on Twitter that just works for Insight Pool, and so it said, "I'm repping Kate Hill's swag." She's like, "Excuse me?
Excuse me, who are you?
And how do you get my swag?"
Where's that restraining order?
It's coming. It's coming. I'd like to thank Eileen for screwing me up that way. So, but it is a comfy t-shirt, though.
Yes, it's very comfy.
Yeah, too bad people can't see it. Insight Pool. Check
them out.
It's
pretty, though.
It's all the web cameras. My hidden web cameras, people can.
Yeah, that would be pretty scary.
That's how I make extra revenue.
Well, we'd be picking a lot of things if that was... Never mind. Hey, so welcome back. We were not live last week, but we did replay Scott Tanksley and his company that went from Meals with a Mission to Authenticity. So hopefully everybody tuned in for that. But this week... super excited, or soups excited, Seeps. As my daughter, who's going to prom tonight, okay. would say.
Have you given the guy the speech yet? Did you her date?
Yeah, we're way beyond
that. You got to film that.
We're way beyond that.
I got to see that.
So, but we've got some guys from a company that you might need a dictionary to help pronounce the name of it. But it is called the Medici Project. I actually said it correct.
Correct.
They didn't flinch at all.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we've got PJ Simmons and Andrew McPeak.
Oh, I like that. Just like that. Scottish. I love that.
are with us. And I am excited because of what you guys are doing to affect business in and around Atlanta, in and around the country.
Yeah.
Welcome back from New York, by the way.
Absolutely. Glad to be home.
So we're going to have you guys do the cocktail party intro real quick. So, PJ, before we jump into the company and what's going on with Medici, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, man. About me. I grew up outside in Memphis, Tennessee, West Tennessee. Some would deem as the boonies, cotton fields, those type of things, little bitty town. And then went off to school in East Tennessee at Lee University.
Yeah.
And kind of got my taste of the big city when I did an internship in Brooklyn, New York. So once I experienced that, it was all over for me. I had to find a city to move into and started doing some work here in the city with the homeless and just kind of through a network of connections, got involved with the early stages of the Medici Project. And now, almost 4 years later, kind of having the privilege of kind of leading the helms. And just a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it. And so it's been my full-time gig now for almost 4 years. And it's a real joy to run and be a part and hang out with Andrew every day.
So, Mr. McPeak. So... How did you, Andrew, go ahead and
you're going to not be able to say it without the accent from now on.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
Yeah, I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee. All my family's still out there. In
great city.
Great city, yeah. We were just east in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. That was a good place to grow up. And I went off to Bryan College in East Tennessee, just right next to Lee University, but PJ and I didn't know each other.
Nope.
Graduated there from 2011 and worked there for 2 years with an organization called the Worldview Initiative, mm-hmm. which was kind of like an arm of the college that went around and did conferences for high school students. So my background was in worldview training and in teaching to specifically millennials high school students. Mm-hmm. So it was actually last year around April, I called my friend Vince, who started the Medici Project, and said, "Hey, I'm looking for a new job." And he called me back and said, "Hey, come get this one." So, so I just started in January with Medici Project. So So me and PJ are knocking things out now together. So I'm still a new Atlantean, but super excited to be here and very excited to be working.
You just screwed it up, the whole hiring curve for millennials.
it's typically not how it works.
Yeah, it's not supposed to happen like that.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
hey, Vince, I need a job. Okay.
Okay, here you go.
Yeah. Done.
I felt Done's very, up. Very lucky in that moment. So,
well, I'm glad you mentioned the M word because we're going to spend some time talking about that today.
Yeah.
And shout out to Taylor Sear, who is up in the big city of Detroit
there
right
you
now.
Taylor.
And her passionate word of all words. And so, sorry we're going to miss you this week, Taylor, but we're going to circle back around to the millennials. But back to you, PJ. You love the city so much.
Yeah.
When you say you lived in Atlanta,
yeah,
you lived in Atlanta.
Oh yeah, man.
For a time.
Yeah, so
tell us about that.
Yeah, so when I first moved here to Atlanta, I lived in a community called Bankhead, which is not the best of places.
I've heard that you just kind of some rap music videos and
yeah, lyrics. just a few, just a few.
It's not the high rent district of Atlanta.
No, not at all, man. But it's it was awesome. Absolutely loved it. And
not a lot of people would say that. Why do you say it was awesome to live
man,
there,
man? Dude, there's just something. For me, being around broken people and in what seems to be hopelessness, is me. I'm a believer, a Christian, and it's just something that gives me energy, man.
Right.
I just it inspires me to see what could be,
right?
And that jazzes me up, gets me energized, and makes me want to start new things and pursue new ventures to just really help people's lives get better. And so it was draining at times, to be in those situations, but at the same time life-giving, to just want to see, man, just some awesome stuff happen.
Okay.
There are good people down there,
Yeah, definitely. And so I was there for a time, but now I'm living in Cabbage Town area, Grant Park. That's kind of where all the interesting...
All the hip and cool people live.
Yeah, exactly.
I live near there.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Hey, there
so
it is.
I'm actually kind of the oddball out down there because, most of them have... big beards and dress, dress as if they're in the Civil War or something. And it's so cool. So it's so odd. But
Phil Sanders, if you're listening,
Phil used to live in the same complex as Phil.
Yep.
He's gotten a house now.
He's grown up.
He's grown up big time in it.
Yeah, he is. So well, from a Medici standpoint, let's transition to there. And just what is the Medici Project and how did it get started?
Yeah, I guess I can start into it, and Andrew can kind of follow up. Our name derives actually from the Medici family. If you're not familiar with this family, they literally, probably 15th, 16th century, brought all of Europe out of the Dark Ages into the Italian Renaissance. And so you have artists that were commissioned by this family, guys like Leonardo da Vinci, Galileo, Michelangelo. I believe four popes derive from their family lineage. Word medicine derives from their family. And so much cultural influence.
Right.
And so the thought process behind the Medici Project is that if one family can influence culture for progression of history, why can a whole generation?
Wow.
And so with both me and Andrew being millennials, we've done tons of research and really experienced it kind of hands-on with friends and relationships and individuals that we've been able to connect with. We really believe that there's no other generation that history has seen that has the far-reaching effects of what millennials can have upon culture.
Right.
And so what we spend most of our time doing is a collection of inspiring and practically helping students and young millennials and young people start meaningful ventures, nonprofits, businesses, service learning programs, those type of things, to begin engaging culture for the common good. And we just really believe this is the generation to make it happen. And that's what we do.
Well, what kind of programs are y'all currently running?
Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, we have a couple. We have our kind of main arms are our alternative breaks and urban missions programs, which are service based programs in the city of Atlanta. We also run them in the city of New York as well. Those programs are specifically designed for students to come into the city and not just get like that feel good experience, like, oh, I gave up a week of my life and I served somebody else, so I feel good. But we want to pair that with a true educational experience as well. Okay. So our goal is that a student would leave differently than they came, so that they might be inspired to change the direction of their life, which some have, having come.
So that's probably longer than a weekend then.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Typically a week experience for those.
Yeah, and we're also connecting them with organizations in Atlanta and New York City that are solving real-world problems in very creative and innovative ways. So our hope is that either that student will say, we'll take that concept back home with them wherever they're from, or they'll be inspired to maybe work with that organization in the future, or whatever else. But we really want, if you're going to become a lawyer or a doctor or a dentist or wherever your career path is headed, that you would remember that service can be a part of that still.
Sure.
And that you could say, yeah, I actually met those people and I know those, I've seen those problems being solved somewhere. So
well, yeah, for so many of us in my demographics, I'm only 44 this year, and there's plenty of times where I can look back on what I learned from serving other people that it wasn't intentional. It was just the byproduct of a memory, and there was no intentionality behind it whatsoever. Yeah. But now, knowing what I know about that, it's critical, because there's so much that can happen when you collaborate with people that are of one mind.
Absolutely.
Not like-minded, but maybe one mind.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what was it about the millennials that you guys decided were all in on them versus any other segment of the population?
Good question.
Yeah, if you actually look at this generation, there's so many aspects. One of the biggest things is on top of what we call the influence pyramid, that age gap of about 18 to 25, 26 are influencing the different sectors of culture. And so you take a look at media, you take a look at fashion, you take a look at education, business, those type of things. Everyone is marketing and transitioning their platform to basically cater to this generation. No other generation has as much buying power and influences these things. You think of, take a look at social media or content in general. No other time in history can content be remixed and shared and go viral with just a simple push of the button. And so no other generation has had this type of tangible, accessible influence within culture at such a quick and fast-paced rate than any other generation. And there's just a crazy innate desire that we've seen.
I was going to say something about that.
Yeah, about the heart for matching passion with work and what they're passionate about, as well as serving others and want to do good. And so what I know Andrew has seen a couple of those things.
That's actually one of the places that the word entitled gets attached to millennials, I think.
A little bit.
Just a tad.
That's an understatement.
But the reason that I think the reason that happens is because we have this expectation that we should be passionate about our work. And I think that's a good thing, you know? Yeah. And that's what we're trying to tap into, because we're looking at a generation and we know, because we're a part of it, that really wants to do something meaningful. Yeah. We've got a philanthropic generation on our hands that wants to solve problems and help people. Yes. And those are things we should be tapping into, kind of not pointing the finger at. Now, obviously, there with our entitlement issues comes the need for us to really cut our teeth when it comes to getting started in the work world and all those things, but not at the expense of our desire to bring passion into our work, I think. And so it's cool to work with millennials who have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And that's such a key piece of it, because so many people lose that passion. Mm-hmm. And I got that advice early on in my life. When it stops being fun, get out.
Yeah.
Right? Because it brings everybody else down.
Yeah.
And so I was talking literally with a buddy of mine this morning who was calling, you know, just kind of upset with what was going on with his work. And I applauded him that he's on that path of going in a different direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what is it about this generation of that, because we've said on the show a lot that Atlanta specifically seems to be a hotbed for social good, for social entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? And then from a generation standpoint and in Atlanta specifically, because you can't turn around without running into another company or startup like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, I definitely have a lot of theories on that.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that I know.
No, we're not going to answer like a specific question, yeah. But just y'all's opinion on why is that
yeah.
so?
Yeah, I think with this generation, man, they love starting stuff. They love being a part of something that seems to be a lot more bigger than just themselves. One of the biggest thing is millennials' deep desire for collaborative environments. Mm. They love doing stuff with friends. They love getting people to join in to, you know, different causes, different needs, different networks. And so they don't want to do it alone. And so, you know, I'm looking on the back of your computer right now.
Right.
I mean, So Worth Living.
So Worth Loving. Yeah.
So I've seen their stuff on Instagram, Twitter. They've blown up over the last 2 years, but
yeah.
they're not doing it alone. They're very collaborative. And that's what our generation wants to do. You know, we want to do it together.
And that's a culture we see in Atlanta, too. I've been telling the students that come for alternative breaks programs here in Atlanta during orientation, I say that with a lot of problems come a lot of solutions. And that's really, I think, what we see in Atlanta, too. This is a city with a dark side in some places. It's got difficulties and problems going on and things like that. And I think that only holds us back if we're not willing to step up and say, hey, let's think differently about how to solve those problems. And I think that's one reason Atlanta's been successful with a lot of that. So.
Yeah, one of many, I think,
yeah.
for sure. So the collaboration piece, though, speaks directly to an event that you guys have coming up here in Atlanta at our friends at Rome here in – it's going to be in the Sandy Springs location.
Yep, exactly.
Right, and that's going to be in August.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the development labs and how that collaboration piece is going to tie in so tightly.
Yeah, absolutely. So our development labs are really a program for college students that have more of an entrepreneurial bent, that have a heart for wanting to engage culture and do things for the betterment of the common good. And so what we do, August 2nd to 4th, we bring in, we cap the event off at 45 students, and these will be college students literally from all over the country. You know, your large state schools from Ohio State, University of Miami, to those small liberal arts universities you've just never heard of in your life.
Right.
And so they come into Atlanta for a three-day deal, and we literally take them through a weekend of taking their ideas from concept to scale.
Right.
And so all the way from what is it that you want to do within culture to do good, whether that is starting a nonprofit or a for-profit business. Because we believe that, you know, individuals can still start for-profit businesses and contribute to the betterment of culture.
Yeah, there's 100 examples of that.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we want to do is we walk alongside of them for 3 days, basically a mixture of teaching sessions and collaborative exercises and exposure to different models and those type of things of bringing their idea to fruition. So whether that be developing business strategies, mission statements, vision statements, how to pursue fundraising, literally taking your idea off the ground and implementing it into a full functioning organization. And then from there, for the rest of the year, we do once a month online gatherings where we bring in different leaders, entrepreneurs, business owners from around the country who do live webinars with them. And so they'll give a 45-minute presentation or something on maybe storytelling or branding or developing a strong funding model. And students are able to ask questions specifically pertaining to their idea. And so some student may say, hey, I'm really struggling with this with my idea. What are some insight that you may have for that? And so we're able to kind of walk alongside of them with that and help make their ideas happen.
Sounds very Praxis-ish.
Yeah.
And they have partnered with you guys.
They have.
Correct?
Yeah. So absolutely. We've actually licensed out a curriculum from Praxis's Concept to Scale curriculum. Actually made that connection through a friend of ours, Jason Losey, who's really spoken a lot into both mine and Andrew's life.
Stellar guy.
Stellar guy. And so, I mean, we've been learning a lot from those circles. And just, you know, even just being in this organization, man, just being young and running our own organization, it's been neat to even be implementing things that we're learning as we're going, and you know, things that we're teaching students. We're like, okay, we've been trying this too, and sometimes this works, sometimes this doesn't. It looks different for one person than to another, and so it's just a big learning experience for everybody. So I think that's what makes it fun.
Yeah,
you know,
Yeah, for sure. And I was going to say, I think a large portion of what we do, you know, we're millennials talking to millennials. So in some ways it's like, what do you guys have to offer them? But I really do feel like, especially with alternative breaks and development labs and urban missions, and all these things we're doing, we're really forming a bridge.
Right.
We're bridging millennials who care about issues to people who are solving them.
Yeah.
And in the case of development labs, we're bridging people who want to be entrepreneurs with people who already are.
Yeah. Right.
And so it's really cool to be able to do that. And then also utilize this technology that we have on all of our computers, you know, to put people together and share insight and all those kinds of things.
Going back to the collaboration piece, because you mentioned that from a just demographic, millennials tend to want to collaborate with their mm-hmm. buddies. How do you get them to understand that there is another world out there that has gone before you,
mm-hmm.
that has can say, "Whoa, my son, here's what I've learned," you know, and have them be open to that, not as someone talking down to them, but someone coming alongside them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Going back to kind of the innate desires, and this is more so from personal experience, because I was kind of the guy that, you know, right out of college, I just jumped out of the gate and tried to make stuff happen
right.
on my own. And I kind of fell, not kind of, but I did. I kind of fell flat on my face and learned, like, oh, let's pull the reins back a little bit. And I really saw a deep desire for mentorship just within myself. And just speaking with different friends and those type of things is our generation, despite popular belief, really do want individuals to come alongside of them.
Sure.
and help them, you know, whether that's just with life insight, mm. With faith insight, with practical insight. There's so many friends of ours who are seeking those type of relationships out. Mm. And we're finding the same thing, you know, with the students that we're working with. I mean, they are so inquisitive and so desirous of wanting to know how to do things the right way, and not only how to do things the right way, but why. That's one of the biggest yeah. questions. Why?
Because generation sure. of
yeah.
why.
Yeah, the we, generation well, of why. Yeah.
There might need to be a follow up development, like a backwards development yeah. lab for Gen Xers who think they know it all.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
That it's not a matter of having to dump and download information,
yeah.
but teach our age group how to come alongside versus talking down to.
Yeah, and I think that makes a big difference, because the people that we're putting in front of them, I feel like, are the ones who understand that concept of yeah. mentorship and what mentorship really looks like.
Right.
So I think we confuse a lot of times because millennials learn differently, that they don't want to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that millennials aren't auditory learners, they're experiential learners, mm-hmm. you know. So what we're trying to do is create programs that aren't just people standing up and talking to them,
right.
but mm-hmm. we're giving them practical experience, practical hands-on thing. We want to send you out to start your idea and then come back once a month and we're going to say, hey, right. how's it going? How's
yeah.
it going?
Yeah,
how's
yeah.
it going? You know?
Yeah.
So it's really, I think that question ends up being a lot about learning styles and models.
For sure.
And the other thing is, I mean, you're talking about one of the younger generations right now, you know, 32 to 12, I think is millennial age range right now. So
yeah.
you're also talking about a lot of young people, and mm-hmm. with youth is a little bit of immaturity. We can call that out, you know, and I think, so when that maturity continues to develop,
mm-hmm.
I think you'll see more of those millennials also saying, you know what, I do have a few things left to learn.
Yeah.
I know that's been a valuable lesson in my life in the last few years. So.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, so you can't teach others without having done so yourself. Talk mm-hmm. a little bit about the culture at Medici. I mean, what do you guys, what's it like every day? I mean, to live in that world where you're constantly trying to develop leaders and young people.
Yeah, absolutely. We kind of have a slogan is we work hard and we play hard.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun, man. But we're very blessed of also just, you know, over the last couple of months, seeing Andrew come in and work and just, you know, it's always, even Andrew's the second hire that we've made at Medici mm. outside of me. And sometimes it's scary with a small organization
right.
to say, like, okay, is this guy going to be able to to come in and produce? Are they going to be able to get things done?
His good looks and alone are not enough.
I know, yeah. And, but they seem to be enough for us. And then, and when he came in and actually did stuff, we were like, man, this is like
just
a
not
win-win.
There looking pretty. He's doing
he's
work.
Doing, wow. He's doing good stuff. And so you guys totally got my mind off what I was saying.
It's easy to do.
It is.
It's easy to do.
It is. No, but I think one of the biggest things, the biggest blessings for us is both, we both have a strong entrepreneurial spirit of wanting to make ideas happen and to collaborate. And
where did that come from? I mean, and where did that come from, though? What was that moment where you went, I want my life to be like that?
Yeah.
What happened? Do you know? I mean, you just don't
fit well in the real world, and you're like, well, I got to go.
Well, exactly.
No, there's a lot of people that maybe
I'm
could
tired
say that.
I'm tired of doing what everybody else
does. But I think it's so key when you decide that this is what your life's calling. What was there, like an event? Was there a conversation? Was there just culture? What led you guys to that?
I mean, I can speak to that. I think one thing that really happened for me is the journey of finding my own purpose, which is actually something that that we address some through what we're doing. Because there are a lot of students out there, and we meet a lot of them who are pretty clear on where they're headed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to be a counselor. I'm heading towards medical school. I'm doing whatever. And I was never one of those guys. And I think PJ can actually has a similar story. And the problem is that for people who aren't sure where they're headed,
right.
There's nothing out there for those types of people,
Amen.
You know?
Mm.
And
it's hard.
And that's,
really hard.
Yeah, that's it what is. That's what we're trying to speak to, because I think we're that person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So our fire in us, I think is that we feel like we're helping people find the answer to that question before we found it, if that makes sense. So I've been exploring it, and I'm dealing with it even still at 25. But I can talk to an 18-year-old and give them a leg up in that that journey,
so they
then,
don't have to get that scar tissue.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, there's some things you need to fall down and skin your knees on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Blood of your nose,
yeah.
Because there's nothing better to learn from than failure. But at the same time, from a practical friendship standpoint, from a co-working standpoint, hey, here's what failed miserably before. If you can try and avoid that. Is kind of what you're speaking to.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So what are some of the long-term, if you guys are going to dream as an organization, like where do you want Medici? There's the job interview question. So where do you see Medici in 5 years?
5 years. Man, we've had all kind of conversations centered around that question. And, man, we have some big dreams. We really do. We're always getting together over coffee, or just, you know, we'll be sitting beside each other, you know, working away and with our headphones plugged in, and Andrea tapped me on the shoulder. It's like, man, could you imagine if we did this or if we do this? And that's typically what programs and things like that come out of, or just those random, like, spur of the moment dreams or thoughts that come on. What we really want to do, man, is that we believe that the greatest influence that we can have is to be able to multiply ourselves.
Right.
And so, you know, of course, we could go out and start our own organization of building wells in Africa or starting furniture banks or working with the homeless or thing. But we've come to the realization that, man, we have some skill sets and some giftings that if we were able to train up a whole generation into making their ideas happen, our far-reaching effects could just be multiplied and compounded that much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so...
How arrogant of you,
We're so arrogant, I know.
To think you can change a whole generation.
Sometimes you need a little arrogance to change the world, I guess.
How dare you?
I don't know.
We dream all the time. I mean, some of the programs, a recent program that we've kind of been in conversation about. Actually, Andrew might be a little bit better touching on this, because this is something that he came to me about kind of a residency type program for young people. Hit a little bit about that and what you
Which
talked to me about.
Which program are you talking about?
You know exactly what I was talking about. The residency program that you talked about developing internship opportunities.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's actually, I've been thinking about that for a long time, but it would probably look more like a fellowship than an internship if you had to put a word to it. But one of our thoughts is if we're helping students come up with ideas, plan for their future, gain purpose, then what would it look like to do that over a long-term period?
Right.
So one thought that I had was, what if we took a fellowship program, but we made it vocational? So a student comes to Atlanta and they want to be a teacher, mm-hmm. an inner city teacher. Mm-hmm. It might be hard to get that connection. Mm-hmm. We have connections with Atlanta Public Schools. So what if we took that kid and we put them in Atlanta Public Schools? They teach there 3 days a week. The other 2 days a week, they come work with us. They get mentored and developed.
Right. Right.
But they're getting that practical experience alongside of getting some some conversations about purpose and some of those.
So when does that happen? So, what are y'all waiting on?
Next week, man.
Yeah.
I think we launched that Monday.
Monday?
Yeah. We're just two conversations away from all those things.
So this is, but we joke, but this is what happens in a startup period. This is what happens in any organization. When you first get going, you get ahead of steam, you feel like, all right, mm-hmm. now this. So how do y'all pace yourselves when you do have the development labs, you do have the trips to New York, you do have the week long, where do you focus your attention knowing it's a generation you're trying to affect?
Yeah. And that is a everyday challenge, because, we are dreamers. We want to see new things happen. But I believe we do have a healthy pace of being able to hone in and focus on kind of our more immediate needs and programs that we're doing, especially with these development labs, man. It seems like the rest of our programs that we're doing are going pretty well right now. Super easy to pull off outside of just, coming up with logistics and making stuff happen. But these development labs, this is our newest innovative venture. Mm-hmm. And so that's definitely our focus right now. What we would like to see over the next 2 years is hosting one or two in Atlanta and then begin hosting them in New York City as well, because it just seems where the majority of our relationships are. And so we leverage those relationships that way. And so that's definitely the most immediate need, mm-hmm. But we're definitely constantly thinking up of, what if, somebody wants to give us $100,000 grant and go, we can hire a new person to start a new program.
Yeah. again, one conversation away.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think both of us also have we're very discontent with people and organizations that have a lot of dreams but don't ever get anything done. So I think both PJ and I are we're dream-minded but very logistics-heavy.
Yeah.
So so that's one thing. And I feel like that's another lesson, for our generation, because I feel like that needs to be at the core, because for all of our dreaming, if we're not willing to get down and dirty, because the reality is that we send – probably 200 emails for every time we get to lead some millennials around the city and do some really awesome stuff. And a lot of people look at our organization and say, oh, it'd be cool to do that. But the reality is, it's a whole lot of work.
Exactly. One of my best friends says, everybody has ideas, but what makes a world changer is those who put ideas into action.
Mm. Yeah. Doesn't even have to be a great idea.
Yeah.
As long as you just take an okay idea and you actually act upon it instead of having 1,000 great ideas.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
See Pet Rock. Yeah, so,
exactly.
Yeah, the Pet Rock.
I wish I would have invented the Pet Rock.
So, but, when you going back to, you have all these ideas as an organization, you're in a great city to mm-hmm. collaborate on those ideas. Mm-hmm. Who are some other organizations or companies that are coming alongside you guys that are like brothers and sisters in this growth process for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many great ones, dude. We've been blessed by, both individuals are around our age demographic as well as older age demographics mm-hmm. that have kind of been in the game for a while. And so some of our friends at Hive Atlanta, which is
love those guys.
Conference, the great guys. I hear the people over at Relational Equity are all right.
Oh, shucks. Was not fishing for a compliment. I will give props to the Hive Atlanta.
Sure.
I'm going to get the date wrong. May 17th?
I think it's in May.
It's in May.
Oh, I should know
do
that.
Some research if you actually are interested.
Oh, no, I'm all over this. But, shout out to them.
Yeah.
Because it is May 13th, actually.
May 13th.
At Roman Dunwoody
there
as well.
There you go. Those guys, Jeff Schinnebarger over at Plywood People, man, he's always been open to just, you know, sitting down over a meal or coffee and just kind of giving me some insight. We got some friends over at Reach Records, which you're here in Atlanta, Ben Washer, been able to sit down with him. And it's been amazing. Just the culture of innovators that are here within this city are just so eager to collaborate, not necessarily go in together on a specific venture, but just to learn from one another.
Yeah.
And so that's been amazing.
I'm new to the city, but one of the things I've been blown away by is everybody's willingness to say, yeah, come alongside, let me introduce you, because I know relational capital is hard to come by, but it seems like everybody's very willing to show their cards, so to speak, here, and I've been very appreciative of that.
There's a lot of sharing that goes on.
Yeah, which is actually a really big deal when you consider the value of those relationships. Yeah.
Well, the collaboration piece, and I think that's what the Discovery Labs are going to... the Development Labs are going to... lean heavily on.
Yeah. Mm.
So when you get people in that environment, in that room for 3 days,
yeah.
I mean, how do you stir that up in somebody?
Yeah.
You know, because they're coming from all over the country. They're not going to know each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there some freedom in that, and that you don't know everybody else in the room?
I think there is, because we notice the same thing, you know, even within these programs, these other programs that we have. Say you have an alternative break trip, you have 20, 30 college students coming from a school. Interestingly
that has
enough,
like hundreds of thousands of people around it. You know,
they don't know each other when they're coming on these trips,
right.
And so you know, you're at a big state university like Ohio State, 60,000
right.
plus. You know, a group of 20, 30 of you come on this trip. You may know one person mm-hmm. in that group, and so I think there's a natural, organic process to that. Mm-hmm. Of you know, as you go through a weekend or a week of that, you begin developing relationships. You have this experience, and I think you know the experience in and of itself is what creates those relationships and collaborative pieces that just naturally happen. I mean, because when you're able to look back on an event or an experience or a memory, it's just something special that makes you want to be connected to those people. And so we've been working through ideas from different collaborative exercises to just really just understanding just the human nature of being able to naturally want to do that.
Yeah, the reality is if you want to be an entrepreneur, you pretty much need to get used to introducing yourself to a new person, you know.
For sure.
So there's a part of that that's in some ways intentional, I think, to get that experience, you know, started is, hey, you guys don't know each other, but what can we do in this room in 3 days, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that we actually were just, you know, thinking about that the other day, planning and brainstorming. Mm-hmm. What could they do in 3 days that would show them the value and the power of somebody who wants to be an entrepreneur?
Well, you got some great space to make it happen.
Yeah.
You guys are doing it at Rome in Dunwoody. That garage area.
It's beautiful.
So cool.
Yeah,
big
is.
Whiteboard and a huge whiteboard.
Definitely. Yep. We love whiteboards.
Yeah, we really do.
Yeah, I think everybody that's got an idea needs a whiteboard.
Yep.
So that's, you guys actually, that's where you work out of.
Yeah, we work out
you
of.
You truly use it as a co-working space.
Yeah,
that's
yep.
where you are.
Absolutely.
Yep. Has that been helpful in the creative process to be in an environment like that?
It definitely has. It definitely has. You know, of course you have, with a space like that, in any type of co-working space, you just have access to other people with different ideas and different businesses and different models and things like that. And the best way to learn, man, is to see other people who are doing different things and be challenged with your own ideas and say, man, check out what this guy's doing. I wonder if we can implement something like that with, you know, our business strategy or our model or our marketing pieces, or cool, check out this awesome graphic that this guy did and he got so many likes on Instagram or whatever. What if we did something, you know, like that? And so not necessarily a copying culture, but in some sense, all creativity is just copying. But
nothing new under the sun.
Exactly.
Wise man once said.
Exactly.
I also find that the amount of good ideas I come up with in a given day is relative to the amount of exposed wood around me. So
and coffee.
Rome
and
helps coffee. A lot with that.
And coffee. Exposed wood and coffee.
Yes.
That's great. Best line of the show.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys have had this same experience, is that, man, I can sit by myself and try to come up with ideas, but until I'm in a room just talking off the top of my head with other individuals that either challenge those or champion those, you know, your best stuff doesn't come out until you begin talking with other people.
Well, no, it's definitely, it's like a funnel. It's like a process. You put it in a machine when you're there and you start with this one idea and the thing that comes out, it's a better idea and it might not even be even close to what you started with, which is such an amazing process.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I hope the people that show up for this thing appreciate what they're going to, and they probably won't for a few years, right, afterwards, but, you know, to walk away going, oh my, you know, what this, my kickstarting of my career, my thought, my idea is going to be.
Because it's not being taught in school, you know. We have a new guy coming in with us for this summer who's actually over the global marketing at Coca-Cola. And he's going to be spending the summer with us and working with us on some of our programs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he talked about his experience in business school is that what they're teaching you in business school is basically how to work in corporate America. They're not teaching, you know, the practical entrepreneurial lessons of making ideas happen. And so we're excited about the potential of it, man, you know, with all kind of students and potential partnerships with universities and those type of things. We believe it can go pretty far.
And you mentioned another one, because I know of, I'm familiar with Samford University. They have a it's 2 years old, but they have an entrepreneurial degree now.
Yeah.
And so I know other colleges and universities across the country.
I've done a little bit of research, and there are a few. I mean, it's definitely not the normal. And there may be a time where it is in the future. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think that'd be great, you know, even if it means less people are coming to us. But the cool thing is, I think more than just entrepreneurial training, we're also able to offer the experience that we're planning to offer of walking in, and we're creating that wow factor and creating those opportunities and putting those relationships in there. And that's some things that I think that we're able to offer. Because we're millennials, we see it from that perspective. You know, what would a millennial need to hear to get inspired?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We can answer that question, and I think that's a big
Yeah, the other school that has like that is Belmont University
in
Nashville. They're a great, really great partner of ours, and they have a great program in social entrepreneurship.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting, because that's kind of what we talk about on the show all the time. So I have to note,
there you go.
Note that. So you guys have mentioned some of the connections that you've made throughout the city of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. How do people find you? How do they connect with you to kind of hear more about what y'all are about? And then, you know, and you guys are so open to hearing what other people are doing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So how do they make that happen?
Absolutely. I mean, they can definitely visit our website, MediciProject.org. Has all of our contact information on there.
How do you spell that for our listeners?
MediCi Project, Project. Completely screw up our spelling.
It's about, we got Medici right, but Project we messed
exactly.
up.
Exactly. .org, and I think you spell that O-R-G.
Yeah, I believe it's O-R-G. That's correct.
And so, you know, you can find out all our contact information on there, Twitter handles, all that stuff.
Yeah, hit us up on social media for sure.
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff is at Medici Project. Of course, everything with our names, at PJ Simmons and at Andrew McPeak. And so that's your best bet. And, you know, if you want to get in touch.
Yeah. Well, where have you guys found those connections so easily? I mean, are people coming to you and they're hearing about you and they're calling you up, say, hey, we want to connect, or are y'all approaching the majority of folks?
Lots of different places.
It's a hodgepodge. A lot of it is based on, individual relationships, just people that we've connected with in the past. Individuals have found us through social media. We actually just launched a new blog that's been going for about a month that has gained a lot of traffic to our site, of individuals that may have not known about us. And so they're inquiring about our programs and, you know, alternative break programs, urban missions, development labs, those type of things, as well as, you know, there's different organizations that we partner with that we host our opportunities through their sites. So one big one is an organization called Breakaway, which is kind of the go-to alternative break training center and website. And so we're able to promote our opportunities on their site, and that's where a large majority of the universities find us, actually.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was having a conversation with one of the leaders from a university that was here in March, and she actually, they were launching a new alternative break program, and they found some organization, and they just went and they spent a whole week with them, and they had to arrange their own housing and all of this stuff. And she said, then I called somebody else and said, there has to be a better way to do this. What do you guys do? and she said, check out Medici Project. And she was like, so then I found out you so plan cool. our housing and the whole week and everything. And we were blown away. Like, yeah, we want to do that.
Exactly.
So when we say, hey, we do logistics and we do them well, mm-hmm. that's a big inspiring piece. And people want to tell other people about that.
Yeah.
So,
well, yes. You mentioned grants earlier. Mm-hmm. It would be great. What do y'all need as a organization right now? You're a non-for-profit.
Yep.
Right? So yeah. How can people get involved to help? I mean, what are the needs? You have to make the needs known. What do y'all need right now?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Financial, always. Of course, you know, I think with any organization, you always think that, you know, if we just had more money and more hands, we could do a whole lot more.
Sometimes more money means more hands
for us. Yeah, exactly.
So.
Exactly. So things like that, grants, and man, you know, just me and Andrew, as we lead this thing, we're always just looking for individuals to connect and to learn mm-hmm. from. You know, this is we understand that this is a marathon, not a sprint.
Right.
And you know, typically the normal story is, you know, organizations just don't blow up overnight into mass influence and success.
Right.
And so, you know, it's a everyday getting up, grinding after it and going after it. And it's just, so we're always looking for individuals, you know, whether those be business owners or other entrepreneurs or nonprofit leaders who have gone before and, you know, walking alongside of us and saying, hey, let's take a look at your funding strategy. Let's help you develop out a better one.
Right.
Let's help you sell better, or let's come up with a different funding model, you know, maybe an online store that you guys could do and some things like that. And so biggest thing is, you know, those individuals who want to teach us and then those individuals who want to give us money.
You know what? Yeah. We got to kind of wrap this up. But, Kevin, what I'd like to maybe put on the calendar is the development lab starts on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Have maybe the Friday before, if it works out for anybody that's come into town,
yeah,
to have you guys back,
yeah,
that Friday
be
before,
that'd be great,
yeah,
and bring
great.
Some of the students that are in,
yeah,
some perspective
man.
There, and document what they're thinking going in,
yeah, yeah,
and then you know let them get through the labs a month or two, and then bring them back on, and maybe
yeah, that'd be cool,
document
that'd just, be
you know,
cool,
that'd
what
be wonderful.
Doing.
So I love booking shows way on advance.
Yeah,
I'm good. We're
while,
good for-
while we're on that, I mean, even if Development Labs doesn't sound like something that's for, you know, whoever's listening, if you know of somebody,
yes.
even
yeah.
I think that's huge too. Because we actually intentionally put a form on our website where you can fill it out and say, hey, I've got
this
somebody
person.
That would be interested
yeah.
or
yeah.
should be doing this, even if they wouldn't find this themselves. And,
right.
Yeah, send us fill up that form and send it to us, because we'd love to contact them and say, hey, can we help? You know.
Definitely.
Well, if you're only listening online, we have been tweeting like crazy. I've been a horrible listener as my eyes have been on my laptop as PJ and Andrew have been talking. But we put plenty of information out at Relational EQ, so live tweeting as we were on the air. So all that information you just talked about has been put out there, what the students will get out of the development labs, where they can find that information. And in the blog, I read over that.
Yeah.
It was a really, really good blog.
And one more
sure.
thing. You talk about one of our biggest needs. I think what would be a game changer for our organization is that we are actually looking for a building
huge.
Right now.
It would be huge.
We are needing our own space in downtown Atlanta, mainly for the sake of lodging, for bringing these students in. That could pair also as teaching room and offices for our organization. And so that would solve a lot of our problems. So any of the listeners have, you know, extra building just laying around, that would be huge.
Well, with the amount of realtors that come through the show, not
realtors or even programs, like I don't know if you've talked from anyone over at ATDC, over at Georgia Tech, that's their accelerator program, but they have a ton of rooms and they might be willing to work out something where you guys can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So the biggest need is a building to house your offices
and students to come in. Because, man, we'll have this year, I think we have over 700 college students coming in throughout the year. I mean, October alone, Belmont's sending us 200 students. You know, and so
you guys have been just putting them through in Rome, or
yeah, we just get a bunch of sleeping bags, and
they don't own a building, but they did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Exactly,
which is where everybody's staying, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Holiday Inn Expresses and random churches and those kind of things, and so it would just you know, logistically, it's great to not have to rely on other people, and you know, kind of have everything you can run yourselves. You know, you're not relying on other people's
schedules.
It would definitely
save us a lot of time and all of that. So
definitely,
yeah.
Well, you guys, this went quick. That was a lot of really good information, and we're excited for what y'all are doing. We're proud that it's in Atlanta. Don't move to New York. All right. Go to New York. Bring back some cool ideas.
There you go.
But let's keep growing it in the ATL.
There you go.
I agree with that.
All right, man. Yeah,
awesome. Thanks for having us today, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Our pleasure. This will be up on the Business Radio X site within the hour-ish. I'm going to put some pressure on Kevin.
That's fine with me. I can handle it.
And then you guys can share that with everybody.
Absolutely. Will do.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
All right. We'll see you next week.